since you're in geometry, Marshy, you're not going to be running around and jumping around and riding on the board. Like other Shiram, it's a different feel. Okay, so you have in front of you, we're going to talk a little bit about, again, many topics we could talk about. Everybody have a sheet? Everybody have a packet? In Yoni Purim. So let's start with Megillah on Daf Vav. It's like Mari says in Megillah on Daf Vav. This happened, I think, last year, 2 years ago. I don't remember when we had Shana Mubaris. And next year, Baal Shem will be a two Adars. So there is a Machlokes Tanoim, which Adar gets Purim. Right? That is a Machlokes Tanoim in the first parak in Megillah. And the Gemara has it as Machlokes, right? The Halacha is like, Hilchos Kashrut Gamliel, Vashar Mishum Reb Yosef. So we paskin that it is the second Adar, as we know. But why is that? So why do we do it the second Adar? And what are the halachic reasons to do it in the first Adar? So let's see. Shnei Mekar Dachadar show on the second line. V'kal Shana V'Shana. Right? The Gemara says it has to be like every year. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Yossi, Samar, V'kal Shana V'Shana. Mal Kal Shana V'Shana Adar Samach L'Shvat. Just like every year, Purim is in the Adar next to Shvat, which is, there's usually only one Adar. So it's usually the Adar next to Shvat. Avkan Adar Samach L'Shvat. So too, in the Shana Mubaris, it's the Adar next to Shvat. Rosh Hashanah Leil Sabra, no. B'kol Shana V'Shana, it's like every year. Ma B'kol Shana V'Shana, the other Samach L'Nisan. Just like every year, it's the other close to Nisan. Usually it's the same thing. But here it's separated. But so too, Avkan Adar Samach L'Nisan. Fine. So that really doesn't help us, those svaras, because usually it's connected to Adar, connected to Shvat, connected to Nisan. But now we continue. Bish the Marbalaz of Reb Yosi, Mistavra Tamiya. I understand Marbalaz of Reb Yosi. He says to do it in the first Adar, De'ein Ma'avir and Ala Mitzvos. Because we don't pass over mitzvos. That's a principle we have in many areas of halacha. Many different examples of ein ma'avir ala mitzvos. Usually it's by objects, right? You're supposed to not pick up your shel rosh before you pick up your shel yad. It has to be situated, because I don't want to pick up the shel rosh and have to put it down and be ma'avir on that mitzvah, right? If somebody wears a talus, you're not supposed to have the talus underneath the tefillin, because you're supposed to take out the talus first, because that's what you're going to put on first. If you pick up your tefillin first, you put your tefillin on first before the talus. Because ein ma'avir and ala mitzvos. So we know, but that also applies to times. Right? If you have a chance to do a mitzvah, you don't let it go by, unless there's a good reason for it. Right? Kiddush Levana, it's a big example that the Achronim discuss. Right? Kiddush Levana, the minhag is sometimes to wait for after Yom Kippur, for after Tisha B'Av, but the Vilna Gaon says, ein ma'avir and ala mitzvos. You do Kiddush Levana, the earliest time you could always do it. So here too, you could do Purim in Adar Rishon, it's Adar. So you do Purim then. Elor of Shimon Gamliel, my time. Why did Shimon Gamliel say the second Adar? Amar Rebbe Tevi, time of Shimon Gamliel. Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. It's better to put the two Geulas together. Right? What are the two Geulas? Pesach and Purim. Rashi says they're Pesach and Purim. So if you think about it, that sounds really nice. Okay, it sounds like a hashkafic idea. You know, put all the Geulas together. But this is beating out a halachic principle of ein ma'avir and ala mitzvos. So it must be a pretty important yesod of putting Purim and Pesach together. Most holidays that we have stand on their own. And you got to figure out what's the nature of Shavuos and what's the nature of Pesach. And what the, all of a sudden by Purim, we not only think about Purim, but we connect it to other holidays. The first being Pesach. And our first question is, why does it have to be connected to Pesach? Purim is Purim and Pesach is Pesach. They're two different holidays. One's a Darabanan, one's a Daraisa. What's so important, as the Gemara says, Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif, what is so important about putting them together? Just to add to this question, there's another Rashi. Not Rashi in Megillah, but Rashi in Maseches Taanis. The Gemara there has the line in source number 3. Mishenichnas av, mematin mesimcha, mishenichnas adar marben mesimcha. Right, we know that. Just a little Hasidish part to put in your, you know, back pocket. Right, mishenichnas av matin mesimcha, when av comes, you minimize simcha. It doesn't say that there's no simcha. It just says minimize it a little bit. A Jew is always the simcha, Hasidim said. Right? Mematin b'simcha. Make it a little less. But of course, the Jew is always b'simcha, even in Av. Just make it a little less.
you're super happy the whole year, you can go to regular happy.
Correct. If you're super happy the whole year, you can go down and be like regular happy, you know, during the... I find it amazing. Have you ever been at a red light right behind an Nachman car? A Nachman van? And all of a sudden, they're at the red light, and all of a sudden, three guys jump out of the van and start dancing. In the middle of, like, Tel Aviv, just dancing. And you know, Rabbi Nachman dancers, you never dance in a circle. They just dance by themselves. You ever notice that? They just dance, like, by themselves in the middle of, right? They're not, yeah. But they do it like, and then all of a sudden, the light turns red, they go back in the van and they drive. But it's just like, I'm like, it always brings a, you look around at all the cars, everybody's smiling. Because you just see pure simcha. You see, that's their avoda. Their avoda is simcha. So you're right, man. So there's always simcha. But they would do that in Av too. I don't think they would minimize an Av. But only in Israel, by the way. Only in Israel. You see that. I don't see that anywhere else. They think you're crazy. Even if you think they're crazy, but they're simcha to crazy. Anyway, so, but look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Mishinechlas kishem, shemishinechlas avamata, misimcha, ka mishinechlas adar, marba misimcha. So there's a Rashi that's much quoted, source number four. What does it mean, Mishinechlas adar? Yemei nisim ha'yuli Yisrael. You know why Mishinechlas adar, marba misimcha? Because the days of miracles are coming. What's that? Purim u'Pesach. Again, Rashi throws in Pesach, where it doesn't even say Pesach. Where it just says Mishinechlas adar. And he mentions Pesach. So, what exactly is the message? So, we have halachically, you put it into the second Adar, and even the Mishinichlas focuses on both. So, what exactly is the connection between Purim and Pesach? We mentioned this already. I think in did we mention it on last Tuesday night? We for sure mentioned it at the Sifas Chaim. We might have mentioned it elsewhere. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Megillah. You mentioned this in Shir at some point? I don't remember. The Rambam tells us in the end of Hilchos Megillah, a startling Rambam, called Sifrei HaNeviim B'Chalaksuvim Asidin Libata Libosa Mashiach. The Rambam says all of Neviim and Ksuvim are going to, simple pshat of the Rambam, are going to go into Sheamus, are going to go into Genizu when Mashiach comes. We're only going to have Torah. Neviim and Ksuvim, it was great to have you. You know, maybe you gave some shirim on it, but those shirim are going to go into Geniza. Why? Chutz, except for Megillas Esther. Except for Megillas Esther, this is the Rambam says, Hari kayemes kachamishichum shei Torah, ukeilchus Torah shebal peh. Right? Megillas Esther is eternal. Eternal, like Torah. Like Torah shebechsav, like Torah shebal peh, like the lesson we spoke about at the Sinkos time. She'enon betelon la'olam. Torah is never batal, so Megillas Esther is never going to be batal. Never. V'yavol bishu zichron hatzaras yibatel, and even though the memory of all the pain, the tzaras will be batel, will be nullified, right? We won't think about any tzaras when Mashiach comes. Ki nishkechu hatzaras harishonos, yimei ha-purim lo yibatel. But the days of Purim won't be batel. We'll focus on the Purim story and on Megillas Esther, as it says in the Megillah. Yimei ha-purim ha-elo lo yavru mitoch ha-yehudim, v'zichron lo yasim mizara. Right, these days will never pass. So that's the Rambam. So again, we're not going to focus on this Rambam. The Ravid already jumps on the Rambam and says, what are you talking about? Tanakh? This is Tanakh. This is Tanakh. This isn't just a Xerid's Rabbanan. This is Tanakh. So the Ravid jumps on the Rambam and says, I think that's 100% wrong. It's our Hediotos who said, it's foolish. What are you talking about, says the Ravid? Ki lo yibatel sefer mikol asvarim. No book is going to be uprooted. Shein sefer shein bo limud. Every book teaches. What, Mishlei? There's not going to be anything to learn from Mishlei when Mashiach comes? There's not going to be anything to learn from Yirmiyahu? Okay, it'll be about stories from the past. But the Ravid says, of course you're going to learn it. What does that Chazal mean? Maybe we won't have a mitzvah to read them anymore. Maybe we won't do Haftorah anymore. Maybe we won't read certain Megillahs, but of course, there'll be sefer limud. So we're not going to focus on defending the Rambam now, what the point is, but what's important for us is that there is something unique about the Purim story. And Megillah says. Right, so what is it about that story, about our Purim story, that starts tomorrow night? We need the Megillah. It's tomorrow night. Right? What is it about that story that is unique? Okay. I'd like to try to defend the Rambam. Maybe he doesn't mean it.
Okay. But our main question is, what does Purim have to do with Pesach? We see why it's connected. But before that, before we get into that, there's another holiday. As we said, most holidays we just focus on the holiday itself without comparing it to other holidays, just trying to figure out what it's about. But Purim is always connected to Pesach. There's another holiday that Purim is always connected to. What's that? Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, and that's a Zohar. That's a tikkun. It's not in Chazal anywhere. It's a Zohar that says Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Purim are also connected to each other. So what does that mean? It seems to be very different days. And it's not even, usually you say, okay, Purim is a little like Yom Kippur. It doesn't even say that. It's Yom Kippur. This day is like Purim. Right? Purim is the ultimate, the model. And Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. So what does Purim have to do with Kippur? So what does Purim have to do with Pesach? And what does Purim have to do with Yom Kippur? Right? Why is it compared to those two days? Mahakesh. Okay. So first Purim and Pesach. First Purim and Pesach, and then we'll get to Purim and Yom Kippur. So Purim and Pesach. So I give you a Ramban, which you probably have seen before, but if not, it's good to review it. This is the Ramban of the Parshas Bo, where the Ramban discusses V'ata Omer Lecha, line 7, Klal B'Tam Mitzvahs Rabos. Where the Ramban discusses, why is it that there are so many mitzvos that are zeichah to mitzvahs Mitzrayim? Remember this Ramban? Why are there so many mitzvos? If I would ask you, how many mitzvahs are there to remember the man? Or do you answer me? Lecha Mishnah, 1. How many mitzvahs are there to remember Maimon Har Sinai? What do you say? How many mitzvahs?
A few.
Okay. 2. Berachas Hazara, Shmuas. Right, what else? How many mitzvahs are there to remember? I don't know, the walls of Yericho falling down. None. How many mitzvahs are there to remember the Anan Yaakovin? 1. Sukkis. How many mitzvahs are there to remember the Mitzrayim? 14. About. Many, many mitzvahs. And the Ramban is bothered. Why are there so many mitzvahs? Okay, it's a great event, but there's nothing even close. There's nothing even close. Zephyrus, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? I'm going to bring a marker, but you can write it in. Right? We have Shabbos and Yontif. It's all Zephyrus, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shabbos and Yontif. And we have, what else? Tefillin, Mezuzah. Tzitzis. Okay, it's related. Anishal Kechem Shem Tzitzis Yashem. Shema mentions it. I don't know what to call that. That's called Samatha Shemayim. But all the Bechor mitzvahs. Pidyon Aben, Arach Shem Lekech has to do with it, okay? Pidyon Aben, Petar Chamor,
Kiddush
of Shabbos, yes, Kiddush. Yeah. So there's 3 out of 15 mezuzahs connected. Why are there so many? Nothing's even close. Right? And sometimes, I once heard somebody give a shiur about this once, I asked this question, and he says, it reminds me of, he says, if I would ask you, how many mefarshim are there on Rashi and on Torah?
Over 200.
Over the past 900 years. Did I mention this already?
No, I think I
should. Right. How many mefarshim are there explaining Rashi? What do you say? What? How many? About 600. The Balabhavish Rebbe himself wrote about 5. Right. How many sfarim are there explaining Rashi? About 600 or so. How many sfarim? Who's in second place? The Ramban. The Ramban, who's in second place? Who has more commentaries written about their commentary than others? So the Ramban's in second place. How many does he have? 7, 8. 600! It's not even close! Right, Rabbi Tam once said, Rabbi's grandson, Rabbi Tam said, I can fathom, we can't fathom either of this, but he said, I can fathom how my father wrote his commentary on the Gemara. He says, I can fathom that. We can't fathom that. Every line in Rashi. He says, I can fathom that. It's Rabbeinu Tam talking. But he says, I can't fathom how my father wrote his commentary on the Chumash. So we think, Chumash, Chumash and Rashi. But there's something magical about every line in Rashi. That's what Rabbeinu Tam said. It's a great line. But anyway, so back to our game. Why are there so many mitzvahs that are Zeklesis Mitzrayim, and there's not any mitzvah even close? So here we go. Ramban, source number 7. Says the Ramban. From the days that there has been avodah zarah in the world, heichelu hadeos lehishnah hishbe emuna. There have been many heretical views in the world in history since the days of the beginning of the world. Many different types of heretics. Mayhem kofra b'ikr. Some of them deny everything. Va'omrim ki olam kadmo. Some say the world has always been here. There's no God. There's never been a God. The world is just here. How did the world start? I don't know. It's always been here. Ha'olam kadmo. That's the lashon. Maybe there was an explosion at some point in the past. But that's the lashon. Kadmo sa'olam. So some say that. Right? It's just a heretic. Kapshu b'Hashem ha'yom v'lohu. They denied Hashem and they said he's not existent. Umehem and others said, of course, now you can't say that. You can't say there's no God, there wasn't a creator. Almost all people out there today, you know, believe that there was, maybe there's no, they believe there was a creator. Right? It's not like how did the world start, right? And usually when there's an explosion, usually after an explosion there's a mess. Right? Not a perfect order. Not a perfect solar system. Not a perfect that if the earth was 1 millimeter closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. And if we were 1 millimeter further from the sun, we'd all freeze. It just so happens that we're on this axis that we're exactly the only place where we could be. And it just so happens that there are seasons that the Rambam writes in Mor Nebuchim, the greatest proof that there is a creator is the human eye. The human eye. Like, that just happened. There's like 4 different lenses in there, and how it works, and there's gas, and there's pus, and there's mucus, and it all works together somehow to create vision. That just happened. I remember I was at Rosolvashik Slovaya. It was on Holomoid Pesach. Remember, it was Erev Yantif, so I drove up from New York, went to Slovaya, and drove back down. 5 hours, 6 hours that day. And it was Chalamoy, so there was only one who wasn't in the ESV, because it was Chalamoy. So only his brother, Aaron Soloveitchik, gave a hesped. He wasn't a hesped, it was Chalamoy. He just gave a speech. I didn't understand a word he said, and he spoke in English. Right, he spoke about, but I remember he was speaking about the human eye, and the lenses, and the reflection, and the refraction, and the this, and all what the lenses all do, and that is what Rav Soloveitchik did for the Jews in the world today. He took the Torah and he put it through the lenses and reflected it and refracted it, and I had no idea what he was talking about, but I do remember that was the mashal that he gave. But all the lenses are work together. Such as happens at the Ramban. There are some heretics that, you know, believe that the world was always around. They deny everything. Umehem and the blind too. Machishim b'diyaso apprentice. And some of them, no. Of course he created the world. But he's a busy God. He's got other things to do. So he had to go other places. But Amru Yech Yada Kel Yishtea Be'el Yom. How does God know that he's not around? Number two. So some deny everything, he wasn't a creator. Some say he was a creator, but he's not around anymore. Some say no, he was a creator and he's around, but he's not omnipotent. He can't do whatever he wants. Umehem sheyodu biyadiya umachisha bashkacha. Some recognize that he knows what's going on, but they deny his involvement. The yasu adam kitge hayam, and people are like fish. Shalo yashgiya hakel bahem. That Hashem is not mashgiach on us. There's no schar ba'onesh. Hashem left. He's a busy God. So there are all these types of heretics in the world. Says the Ramban, how can in one fell swoop, in one moment, could a Kadosh Baruch Hu do something and undermine all of the heretical views? In a second, you're all wrong. You're all proven wrong. What can Hashem do? What can he do? Perform a miracle. The second that Hashem performs a miracle, at that moment, it's clear that there was a creator, there is a creator, he knows what's going on, and he can do whatever he wants. That's what a miracle does. When Hashem, either in public, with a big group, or in private, and he performs a mofes, a wonder. it'll become clear to all the nullification of all of these opinions. Why? Ki amofes nifla, the miracle reflects sheyesh ba'olam elokim achacha, that there is a creator who's still involved, the yodeo umashviach, turn over, and he knows what's going on, the yachol. Because sheyesh ba'olam elokim nizar tefila, and if it was forecast, if it was predicted by a Navi, it's even more powerful. Right? Yisbar b'meno oda mitas hanavua. Prophecy. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to people, the Yagawa Soto al-Hadol al-Nabiyim, and he reveals his secrets to the Nabiyim. So that's what a miracle does. And that was the purpose of the Maps and the whole miraculous time period of Mitzrayim. Because at that time, Avodah Zarah was rampant. Everybody believed in all different gods. They thought the Nile was a god. Right? Paro tried to make himself into a god. So at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Pesukim in Shmos and Be'era and Bo, these are so that you know that I am the God. But, the Ramban continues, Hashem doesn't perform miracles forever and ever, open miracles. That was getting back to answer the question. Remember where we go.
What was the question? Why does somebody miss this? This is right.
Hashem does not perform open miracles all the time. But, He gives us many, many mitzvos that remind us of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that we know today, even when, even today, when we don't have open miracles, we remember what it was when the most miraculous time period in history took place. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why are there so many mitzvahs? So that even during the times of history when there aren't open miracles, we recognize and remember the miracles and recognize the yesod that those miracles taught us. Hashem's still here. And even if it doesn't look like it, even if we can't see Hashem in the same way as an open miracle, Kodesh Baruch Hu is still here. And that's what he says in the continuation. On line 14, so that we don't forget, and that's why there are so many mitzvos related to this. So basically, what is the message of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Pesach was the most miraculous time period in the history of the world, so we always have to come back to that and think about that to remember that Hashem is always involved in every day of our lives, even when it's not miraculous. And that's what the Meshech Chachma says as well. Now going from the Rishonim to the acronym, it's source number 8. Meshech Chachma, what was his name? Meir Simcha.
Meir Simcha Cohen.
I once had a comment. There was a Meir Simcha here a couple years ago from Edgeware. You know, Hodges?
Yeah.
Meir Simcha Hodges. What? Yeah, he's in some place. Nice. She was place. But Meir Simcha. So, anyway, so, says the Meshech Chachma. The same idea. He has a simple question. Meshech Chachma asks, there are two Gemaras. One Gemara says, this one you know, we're getting a bracha, if you say Ashrei 3 times a day, well, I don't know if they have religions or not. I don't know if they switch the yet. You have to switch the whole building from heat to air conditioning. So it didn't switch it yet, I don't know if it's happened. Anyway, so the one Gemara says that if I say Ashrei 3 times a day, I go to Olam. Amazing, don't know that Gemara. But there's another Gemara.
If we say Halal Hagodol every day, was Halal Hagodol?
We said it yesterday. It's the parak that ends off Kili Olam Chasto, Kili Olam Chasto. Shep Shep Lenin Zachalon again. We say it every Shabbos and every morning. If you say it every day, Hariz a Machari from Agadev. That's blasphemy. That's cursing God. Ask the Meshech Chachma. They're both Prakim and Tehillim.
Why is it if I say Ashrei 3 times a day, I go straight to Olam Haba? But if I say
Halal Gadol every day, it's Machari from Agadev. What's the difference? Let's read what the Meshech Chachma says. Source number 8. Ha'inyan. You want to say a little bit, Ezra?
Yeah, I'm not going to see his
Hanisis. Oh, that summarizes the whole thing already. Hanhaga Hanisis, miraculous Hanhaga of Hashem, is not the tachlis. It's not the goal. Hashem doesn't want to perform miracles and then you're going to believe in Him. Right? That's not the goal of life. For us to see Hashem in open miracles. Shashem bara ha'olam Hashem created the world to function in a natural order. Asher yibas elokim b'kol tachil, and it has everything. It's self-sufficient, so to speak. Right? Every animal in the jungle is able to feed off of the stuff. There's a self-sufficient world. There's so much. That's how Hashem created the world. Not to have miracles every day. But the goal is for a person to recognize there's private, personal hashgacha on every detail. And he says, look at this beautiful line. Nature is continuous miracles. Asher misragel in haroe, which her eye has gotten used to. What's Ashrei about? Says the Meshech Chacham. What's Ashrei about? And why is it in the Aleph Beis? That symbolizes it's a whole system. Aleph Beis, Gimel Dal, everything fits together. Hosea Kesher Dechel Masbiel Kol Chai Ratzon. He gives everybody what they need. It's about Teva. Ashrei doesn't talk about miracles. It talks about Hashem sustains the world. Hashem listens to us when we call out to Him. Saying Ashrei every day is a ben olam haba, because we recognize that the whole world, even Teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind. If we would say Hava Gadol every day, says the Meshech Chacham, what would that reflect? What is Hava Gadol about? The great things, the miracles. Shem Shekhlei Bezom Arlando, O God Kaposhalan, Kir Kolom Kastov. Yeah? We're reflecting that, oh, Hashem, thank you for the miracles. As if to say, oh, you're only in charge of the miracles? That's not the goal. Because as the Meshech Chacham said, Teva is continuous miracles. Yeah.
That's
not what the Gemara says, but maybe. Okay, I'll have to add that. I think about this Meshech Chacham often, and I will put that in there. He said, why is there no Nun in Ashrei? So the Gemara says, because it talks about Mephila. Right? You don't have to tell me that, but maybe Nun also is Nisim. Okay.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Okay, put it in the idea. What's your full name, Moshe?
Shlomo.
Moshe Shlomo. Okay. Oh, it's the same. Okay.
It's the same word.
What? I haven't done this in Syria really much yet. I try to come up with the name of your sefer that you're going to write.
Right.
Right.
The
Gramsch,
but
I'm saying
it doesn't
matter. Right. The Gramsch, right. The Gramsch. It's like a Shlomo Kloger. Kind of sounds like a Gramsch. It's a Mefurz Gramsch on Purim. So that's the. You gotta find a better name. Right. The Karnei Moshe. The Karnei Moshe. Right. Moshe Rabbeinu had the Karn Arpanav. The Karnei Moshe. Right. The shine of Moshe. So it's going to be in there. There's no Nun. Because there's no Nes in Ashrei. Okay, the Karnei Moshe press down. Okay, remember it. And you heard it here first in Adar on Toshin Pei Gimel. Okay, anyway, so that's Ashrei versus Halal Hagadol. Maybe that's the message with having permanent Pesach in proximity. We want to put them together because Pesach is all about Nisim Gluyim. Pesach is all about open miracles. Chazal Davka want to have Purim next to Pesach, so we realize you got to see them together. Purim is just as much a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hand there as Pesach. Mismach Gula Gula Rashi, put the two Gulas together. Because you have to see them together. You have to see Purim in light of Pesach. You have to be Pesach in light of Purim. They play off each other. But Purim is the most secretive holiday to see Hashem's hand. Pesach is the most open holiday to see Hashem's hands. That's why they have to be together. Because Purim and Pesach work with each other. And that is the first message. Purim to Pesach, right? Because they work off each other. If you look on the next page, in source 3 and 4, that's from Rabbi Rimon. Rabbi Rimon is one of the great rabbis today. He has many svarim out. This is from his Sefer on Purim. And he talks about, I mean, you know this, but let's see. So which of these recognitions lasts longer? When we recognize Hashem through a Purim story or through a Pesach story? What lasts longer? Pesach, you think, lasts longer? Yeah? How long did the Pesach recognition last? Not so long. If somebody's blown away by a miracle, it doesn't last. Somebody's blown away because it's just like, whoa! And then, you know, you start re-explaining. You start saying maybe it wasn't a miracle. I think I told you this. I remember. Remember when, what? By Hanukkah. By the studs? Right by the stud missile? I told you that?
Right,
they ran in after. The Egyptians ran in after us because they don't. If you see an open miracle, it doesn't last. I'll just say my Shana Aleph in Israel. Shana Aleph was the year of the Gulf War, 1990-91. So we were in sealed rooms, and it was not pretty. It was not fun. But it was very intense, and there were 39 Scud missiles that were shot at Israel. Have you ever seen a Scud missile? I saw one. Because by the Thursday night was the first alarm, so we were in the sealed rooms. And then Shabbos morning, during Ashrei, Shabbos morning, somebody runs into the Beis Medrash, Azaka! Azaka means alarm. So we all start running back to the dorm room, because that's where our sealed room was, the sealed rooms. So as we're running back to our sealed rooms, we see in the air, we saw the Scud, like going over us. Now, big as like one of these, like we're sending towards Tel Aviv. But you know how big these are? They're as big as like a humongous submarine, like a huge tower. They're huge! They're not like this table. Like as big as this, twice the size of this room. That's what, 39 of them were shot straight to Israel. Not one person died directly from a Scud. One older woman didn't put her gas mask on right, and she didn't take out the plug. Nisim Gluyim. And even at that time, you know, people were like, one Scud went off course. It was terrible. It went off course and it went to Saudi Arabia and it killed 250 American soldiers. Go to the history books. Like, there were 39 of them. But it's like Nisim Gluyim. How long did that last? They always missed. Yes. It went into open areas. It all went into open areas. But, what?
You wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think so. Guess there's a couple of open areas, but Coach Farrakhan has it. No, right here in like, you know, but how long did that? I remember people talking about it soon after, but miracles don't last. So recognition of a Coach Farrakhan based on miracles. Right, look, Michael Torah, take a video. This week's Parsha. But if you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in life, like not in open miracles, then that's much deeper. And that won't go away. Because I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life, the hidden hand. And that's why Rabbi Rimon explains, that's why the message of Purim is forever, because it stays with us. The message of Purim is that it doesn't evaporate. The miracle gets further away. Because the Purim message of the Yad Hashem is every day of our lives. Right? Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. But he's all over the Megillah. So that is message number one. Purim to Pesach and the contrast, but the connecting part. Let's get to the other side. Let's talk about Purim and Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur. So those seems to be very, very opposite days. The most serious day and the most party-filled day. Right, if I were to ask you, tell me the opposite day on the Jewish calendar from Yom Kippur. Okay, you might say Tisha B'Av.
But
you also might say Purim. Right, Yom Kippur, formulated like this. Yom Kippur is the only holiday without a chiyuv to eat. Purim is the only holiday without an Isser Malacha. The only day where there's a chiyuv to eat and there's no Isser Malacha. Say it that way, because Hanukkah. Again, Yom Kippur is the only day that there's a Yantif. There's a Yantif, but you're not allowed to eat. Purim is the only day that you have to eat, but it's not a Yantif. Yom Kippur is not a Yantif. Erev Yom Kippur, not the same way, not the same type of chiyuv. Su'udah. So aren't they opposites? Aren't they opposites? So the answer is yes, they're opposites, but they work together. They complement each other. How do they complement each other? Yom Kippur is a day that we're meant to be angels. We go into the world of the angels. Right? We wear white. We say Baruch Shem Kavod out loud. The Medrash tells us, if you look at source number 9, Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni, the Samael. Samael is the Malach HaMavis. Samael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You didn't give me right. I want to do something to the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem says, not today. What do you mean, not today? What parsha is it? Achrei Mos. Achrei, it's Yom Kippur. He says, what do you mean, Yom Kippur? So what? He says, not today. So Medrash says, Ruah Samael Shalomatzav and Chait. Where are their sins? Their sins disappeared. Samael, that means the angel of the dark side, is saying this. He looks down at the Jewish people on Yom Kippur and he says, they're angels. Just like angels don't wear shoes. Get rid of them, they're black. Okay, but there's a lashon of, they don't wear shoes. So do the Jews don't wear shoes, Yom Kippur. Just like angels don't, right, don't have knees. This is Yerushalmi. They just stand. Malachi Sharis don't eat and drink, so the Jews don't eat and drink. We're like angels. Yom Kippur is made to be angels. Yom Kippur is a day for us to leave this world and go into the world of the angels. Ma malachim shalom b'neiam kach Yisrael. V'akadosh Baruch Hu shomea eidusum en akategar u'machap alav anusim shei Yisrael. Even why we fast. Fasting on Yom Kippur is not about being uncomfortable. Mostly. Says Rav Sternbach in source number 10, it's about being like angels. The fasting on Yom Kippur is being like angels. Ikar mitzvah shvisa me'apil v'shtiyah sh'niyah domen l'malachim. To be like angels. So that is Yom Kippur. Purim is exactly the opposite. Purim is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not being an angel. Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with my food and with my gashmias. Right, looking at source number 11 now, Rav Kook. Turn the page, Rav Kook, you see how source 11 in the middle of the page? Right, it says Rav Kook in the Olas Re'ia. It's on the page after every page. Says Rav Kook, he says, Ah, Shebechol Hayamim, Shasuya Yispalel. Right, even though generally somebody who has drunk some wine shouldn't daven, become Akom, Yom Zehom, it's also Makapo Matri. If you had a little wine, if you're totally out drunk, then you can't daven. But if you have a little wine, then generally you would say, better not to, but no, this is the mitzvah, if it's channeled in the proper way. If it's channeled the proper way. So he says, usually you can't use external stimuli, physical, to get you close to Hashem. Abba b'yom zeh wine for kokos ha'kuf gam kein mekudash en l'shamayim. Our physicality is also made holy on Purim. The Ha'ar Chofef Alein B'chol Gavien, the Or, the light shines on them. The Alkein, the High Time of the Malachal of Kiblu. Remember the Gemara? Dafka, there's no Isra Malacha on Purim. Because Hashem wants, it's a day that we're supposed to do Malacha. We're supposed to drive, and we're supposed to be involved in our physical lives, and celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. Dekayom Inakashim Mislagit La'ruchani on Purim, the physical does not contradict the spiritual.
Okay, b'chol yantiv shenikra takla shel kula. Generally, yantiv is about becoming angelic. That you needed an Isser Malacha. Lo yitachin yos asuk b'malachas chol. Shein sheyachas alam adas malachas de ba'alma. Mashenkin, today, it's all about being in this world. So dafka, we have a suda without an Isser Malacha. So it's mashlin Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we said our Kaddish Baruch Hu in Shamayim. Currently, we said our Kaddish Baruch Hu down here. They both have the same goal. They both have the same goal of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's even a fascinating comment by, maybe it's in a Rishon, but it's explicitly in Rav Rimon. Somebody asked this last week, actually, in the Mishnah, one of the guys, asked me this. What happened at the beginning of the Megillah? Do you still say Shechiyanah? On the Megillah, you're on somewhere, and you want to say Shechiyanah on the day. You say Shechiyanu on the day of Purim. Right, Yom Kippur, what do? Yom Kippur, we're not eating. You say Shechiyanu in Shul. Remember? In Shul, right before Maariv. We all say it. Right, we finish before the Chazan, we say Amen. What about on Purim? It says in Machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Rishonim. If you look in the Meiri, source number 12, the Meiri says, Yesh Shemegalgel Chiyuv Zman. Some say, yeah, you're supposed to say Shechiyanu for a different reason. Not just because of the Megillah. It's a Yantif. Shlonomar Bavaila Ela Al Megillah. Right, let me say it this way. We're going to talk about this question later in the folk. At night, we for sure say Shechiyanu on the Megillah. What about by day? Do you say Shechiyanu on the Megillah? Do we say Shechiyanu on the Megillah by daytime? So, Sfaradim don't, Ashkenazim do. Right, the Ramah says yes, of course, and you also have in mind the other business. Right. So the Meiri says, some say also because it's not only on the Megillah. It's on the day. Mashaykh Mishar Yavam Tov. Sha'af Oso Shawaiva who was Zekar Yantiv Lo Dabar Acher. And even though on Sukkis there's two, there's one on the Sukkah and one on the Yantiv, still here it counts. Okay. But are you supposed to say Shechiyanu by itself, says the Magen Avraham? No. Source 13. Says about whenever I'm near a lead. The Mishaim lo Megillah lo Yivara Shechiyanu Mishloach Manos Mesuda. Says about whenever there's no Shechiyanu on the other mitzvahs. Okay, you have them in mind to be Yotzei, but really, why do you say Shechiyanu in the morning? Because Chris and Megillah gets a Shechiyanu in the morning. Tosfos says that's the Iker reading of the Megillah. So we announced that the other mitzvahs in mind, but really it's because the Megillah gets a Shechiyanu. The Zeo Dabar Noach B'Cholyom. What, just eating a meal? You don't need a bracha, just eating a meal. You do that on Shabbos and Yantif too. So, Lomaisa, what do? So we pass that you don't say a Shechiyanu. Because Suffolk bracha. Look at the next source, the Bir Alacha, quotes the Machlokes Achronim, and says, Suffolk bracha, Rachel, you don't say a Shechiyanu. But Rav Rimon has a beautiful line. In source 15, I saw this, I was, wow. Says Rav Rimon, I'll tell you a reason why we shouldn't say Shechiyanu. You know what Shechiyanu means? Shechiyanu, Hashem, thank you for bringing me to this very special day. This is a day like no other day. It's a holiday. It's a day that only comes up every couple of months. Shechiyanu, Kimanu, Yama, Fahazel. You know what the message of Purim is? Serving Hashem in your everyday activities. Serving Hashem in your eating and in your drinking and in your kitchen and in your driving. So there's no Shechiyanu. Because don't say, oh, today is different than other days. Today is supposed to be a day that teaches me about every day. About not being an angel. Yom Kippur is about serving Hashem being an angel. Purim is about serving Hashem being a person. And celebrating physically. And that's why maybe it's not just not needed, but it's inappropriate. Maybe we would lose something by saying Shechiyanu on Purim. But it's not about the day, different than other days. The message of Purim is that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in all of our life. Yeah.
You can say Shechiyanu in the middle of Shechiyanu. Shechiyanu is, well, Yom Kippur. Where we're not eating, you say Shechiyanu in the middle of Shechiyanu. It's not by itself. There's no object, there's no nothing. So you do say Shachianu on the day of, but Shachianu last month is it? Right, let's say... What? No, women say it for men. We say Shachianu has nothing to do with lighting candles. There's a mystery. The minimum is, I'll just answer what you asked, the minimum is that women say Shachianu when they light candles. Right, I got it. I remember seeing this years ago. That's not in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere. And some Acharonim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden thinks it's wrong. Why are they saying Shachianu? It's not Yom Kippur yet. We say it by Kiddush. We say it by Kiddush, but it has to do with the day. It has to do with the mitzvah. So anyway, that's his suggestion, that maybe Shachianu would be inappropriate, but Shachianu means today, thank you, today is different, and really, we're not supposed to think that today is different. That's the message of Purim, Yom Kippur. Yeah.
Well, I put it to the law, you have in mind with the other mitzvahs of the day, you say Shachianu, you don't have...
You don't really, well, there's a separate, well, two things. Number one, I think that's just a homer. I think maybe you don't have the other mitzvahs in mind. Just the Megillah itself. Number two, there is a discussion, like, why there is no bracha on those mitzvahs. So there are reasons here for that. Probably the most common one is that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that doesn't look like a mitzvah. That's a rule. Meaning, only Shabbos, and you don't make a bracha on that. Keep it on the aim. It's something only non-Jews would do too. So that's one of the rules of a bracha. You don't make a bracha on stuff. Mishloach Mana is giving your friend some food to eat. So, but there could be like we usually think, but there could be a Shachianu without a bracha on the mitzvah. Sometimes we have that. Like on your kibbutz. Or we have a Shachianu without a bracha on the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. The Shachianu that we put by Kiddush has nothing to do with Kiddush. Even if somebody's out in the middle of nowhere and it's Sukkot, he's going to make a Shachianu. If he has no Sukkot, he has no wine or nothing. No, it's on the day. We connect it to the mitzvah, but it's not on the day. As I never said, if you don't have the mitzvah, you still make the bracha. If you're in the middle of nowhere, you don't have a sukkah, you don't have wine, you still make the bracha of Shachianu. Still make the bracha of Shachianu. So we see, just to summarize what we've seen, so we've seen that Purim is compared to two different holidays. It's compared to Pesach, and it's compared to Yom Kippur. Two different messages. Right, Purim compared to Pesach. Pesach is the most miraculous, amazing. Zayin is even trying. We always focus on Pesach as the most miraculous time period. Purim is the opposite. It's hidden. It's private miracles. Kadosh Baruch Hu behind the scenes. There's no other story in Tanakh that you look at every detail. Right, the Al Shem HaKadosh. Did I mention this last week? I remember. That Kadosh takes it down. He says even down to the second. You think about just one detail of the story. And again, please, today or tomorrow, just read over the Megillah, like I said. You can do it with Rashi, you can do it with Rashi. The Al Shem says, down to the second Hashem is involved in our lives. Right? Achashverosh says, you know, is there anybody I haven't paid up yet? Right? So they take out the Sefer Zechronos, Mordechai wasn't paid up yet. So first of all, why wasn't, if somebody saves your life, wouldn't you repay them right away? Like, why was it delayed? Because this wouldn't have happened then. Right. It wouldn't have been that he wanted to take Mordechai right then. If Mordechai would have been repaid years before, this whole story wouldn't have happened. So Dafke has it written down. And then he asked them to read it. And then he says, okay, what should I do? Who's outside? At that very second, Haman's walking by. At that second, Haman's outside. Says the Al-Shech, if Haman would have been there a second before or after, the whole story would have been different. Right, imagine if he would have been there a moment before, then he would have overheard the king talking about Mordechai. And then he would never have suggested, you know, what he suggested. Yeah, it's talking about me, the king, and the announcement that they can put down. Let's say he would have been there a second later. Then he wouldn't have seen Haman, he would have asked somebody else. You know, what do you think we should do? He would have said, I don't know, buy him something. You wouldn't have had the whole story with Haman and walking him. Down to the very second, the hashgacha of Kadosh Baruch Hu and Mordechai being there when he overhears Purim and Seresh, every detail of this story has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the message of Purim and Pesach being next to each other. Pesach is the open miracles and Purim is the hidden. But they have to be next to each other. That's why you push off Purim, even though Ein Mavir and Al Mitzvos. We'll still push off Purim. But also, the message of Purim is Purim and Yom Kippur. Because Purim teaches us, and Yom Kippur teaches us, Yom Kippur is a day of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst the angels, and Purim teaches us serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst this world. And being physically involved, as Suda, it's a little of both, by the Shem at the Purim Suda, I take out the Yom Kippur Masa.
We'll sing some Yom Naram tunes because of Yom Kippur. And it's a serious time, but it should be an intense experience. But it's Yom Kippur, and the Mishnah Berurah says start learning Hilchos Pesach on Purim. This is a month before. So there's a lot going on in the Purim Suda. It's got to be like Yom Kippur. It's got to be like Purim. It's got to be like there's a lot happening here. So these are the messages of Purim and like Pesach and Purim like Yom Kippur. Okay. Maybe one final thought will leave you with another message that Purim is like Yom Kippur. It is not a machine. There's another message that Purim is like Yom Kippur. Why do we call it Purim? What's a Purim? The lottery, the raffle. What's so significant about that?
That's what we call the day. That's what we call the day. So Soloveitchik writes, he says, on Yom Kippur, we have two goats. Remember the avoda, the special avoda? We have two seirim. Seir LaShem and Seir LaZazel. One of these goats is going to be brought in the Kodesh Kodesh. One of these goats is going to be pushed off a cliff and beat by Yehuda. How do we determine which goat is which?
The lottery.
It's all chance. Which goat is going to which destiny? It's all chance. Whatever the coin called picks up out of the lottery. Purim is all the lottery. How did Haman determine what day? Lottery. Yom Kippur and Purim both have an element to it. Total chance. Because that's what Amalek is about. Things are just chance and... You know, it's the opposite of any involvement from upstairs. But we know the real message of Purim. That it's not Purim. Purim is not Purim. Purim is not about a lottery. It's the opposite. When Shabbat is Hashkacha, we call it Purim because that's what it looks like on the outside. But really, we know who's involved in the lottery. We know who guides the hand of the Kohen Gadol or the hand of all of the Jews in history. So we have to take these messages to heart as we have Purim. Okay, we'll stop here. A few minutes early. But tomorrow we'll have Shir about Tainus Esther. Okay? We'll do it. And then everybody, again, except for two, but looking forward tomorrow, I'll let you know the time exactly.